Few people came to Olney. Mr. Cooper had hoped to augment his income by taking in pupils for Latin and Greek, but none would come. It disappointed Mr. Cooper, but pressed him towards an activity which would fill his spare hours for years to come. Mr. Cooper once said that he had no more right to the name of poet than a maker of mousetraps has to that of an engineer. I disagreed, and was happy to be proved correct in my estimate of his ability. My son William was his confidant on matters poetical, but I was granted the seal of approval. Mr. Cooper called me his Lady Chamberlain, and would not let a verse pass if I did not like it. That year he composed The Progress of Error, Truth, Charity, Table Talk, and Expostulation.
William Cooper to Lady Hesketh, the 15th of May, 1786. We certainly do not honour God when we bury, or when we neglect to improve as far as we may, whatsoever talent he may have bestowed on us, whether it be little or much. In natural things, as well as in spiritual, it is a never-failing truth that to him who hath, that is, to him who occupies what he has diligently, and so as to increase it, more shall be given. Set me down, therefore, my dear, for an industrious rhymer so long as I shall have the ability, for in this only way it is possible for me, so far as I can see, either to honour God, or to serve man, or even to serve myself.
It is ironic that the final poem of this period was called Retirement. Ironic because Mr. Cooper was delayed in finishing it due to a sudden lack of retirement. After 7 years of quiet, our days of being alone with our faithful servants were at an end. Chapter 6. Friendships Old and New. Dick Coleman, the child Mr. Cooper rescued from St. Albans, had grown up to be like his father. All of Mr. Cooper's intentions had failed, but his duty remained. I had a relation called Patty Wilson. When she was left widowed with a small child, she married Dick Coleman, and they lived in the eastern wing of Orchard Side. The small child was called Hannah. I was asked to train her up in service, so she lived with me from a very young age. I recall the time when Mrs. Newton sent her a bonnet, and the dear child was so delighted that she imagined every bonnet in Olney had been given to the wearer by Mrs. Newton. In summer of 1781, when Hannah was about 6, she accompanied Mr. Cooper and myself for a picnic at the Spinney. We enjoyed our meal with the Reverend Thomas Jones from the nearby town of Clifton Rains. His wife came along and brought her sister, who was visiting them. She was a widow by the name of Lady Anna Austin. I remember the picnic well, for the very next day Dick and Patty Coleman welcomed into the world their daughter Maria, and Hannah, who had thought the picnic quite wonderful, announced that she liked her new sister even more. The widow Lady Austin had greatly enjoyed the company of Mr. Cooper, and 2 weeks after the picnic, she moved into the spare rooms of the vicarage and so became our neighbour.
The rose had been washed, just washed in a shower, which Mary to Anna conveyed. The plentiful moisture encumbered the flower and weighed down its beautiful head. The cup was all filled, and the leaves were all wet, and it seemed to a fanciful view to weep for the buds it had left with regret on the flourishing bush where it grew. I hastily seized it, unfit as it was, for a nosegay, so dripping and drowned, and swinging it rudely, too rudely, alas, I snapped it. It fell to the ground. And such, I exclaimed, is the pitiless part some act by the delicate mind, regardless of wringing and breaking a heart already to sorrow resigned. This elegant rose, had I shaken it less, might have bloomed with its owner a while, and the tear that is wiped with a little address may be followed, perhaps, by a smile.
Lady Austen had not spent 1 month in Olney before she had conceived a plan to take over the eastern wing of Orchard Side. I wondered if she had considered what might happen to the Colemans and their month-old baby, for Dick Coleman was little able to afford better premises for his family. But Lady Anna Austen planned a way. She arranged for doors to be made in the garden walls which stood between the vicarage and Orchard Side, so that we might travel to one another's properties without traversing the road. This was a good plan for avoiding the dirt of the road, but its convenience was not always an advantage. Upon her arrival, Mr. Cooper had observed that she would find few companions of her status in Olney, and made an effort to see her each morning, either at the vicarage or in our parlour at Orchard Side. But this habit, once begun, could not be changed. The hours which Mr. Cooper had of recent years reserved for poetry were now spent charming the fair widow. King Solomon wrote, "Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbour's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." I believe that Mr. Cooper tactfully intimated as much to Lady Austen. She took great offence, and we heard nothing from her for half of the year 1782. Summertime returned, more picnics in the spinney. Lady Austen had forgiven and forgotten. She could not even recall what had been the cause of the dispute. So friendship renewed. We dined together alternate nights with the exception of Sundays, eating at 4 and talking until 10 or 11. It was during these conversations that Mr. Cooper first heard from Lady Austen the tale of John Gilpin, which he wove into a poem and published anonymously. A year later, Lady Austen gave Mr. Cooper a sofa and set him the task of writing a poem with the sofa for his subject. From such a small beginning grew the monumental poem, The Task. Whilst writing her poems, Mr. Cooper could easily tell Lady Austen that he must have time to write. She said that she understood, but she often found her way into Orchard Side and then fainted, and so the sofa which she had given had to be made over to her care until she was well enough to return to the vicarage. When in 1784 she left for Bristol, we knew that she would not return, and our hearts were happier with the memory of better days than the pretence of continued friendship.
William Cooper to William Unwin, the 12th of July, 1784. You are going to Bristol. A lady not long since our very near neighbour is probably there. She was there very lately. If you should chance to fall into her company, remember, if you please, that we found the connection on some accounts an inconvenient one, that we do not wish to renew it, and conduct yourself accordingly. A character with which we spend all our time should be made on purpose for us. Too much or too little of any single ingredient spoils all.